1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to be looking this morning at the life of Hannah, a great lady in the Bible. But as we prepare our thoughts on this, I read a couple of articles this week. The first one was from a few years back and from USA Today 2007. It was a report that said 7 out of 10 Protestant-aged young people, ages 18 to 30, both evangelical and mainline, who went to church regularly in high school, said that they quit attending by age 23. Now, we're not Protestants, but it does give you a bit of an idea of, as you think about, said young people ages 18 to 30, by the time they were 23 years old, 7 out of 10 quit going to church. And they went to church regularly when they were in school. Then also another report said that 60% of young people disconnect from their local church by the age 15. We've seen that pretty much true here as well. Many of the young people that we've had in our youth groups and things like that, and they'll come along for a while, and then about that time they're 14, 15, you don't see them anymore. You can't get them to come. Now, with those kind of statistics, it's kind of a sad way to start out the message this morning, but you know, there's never been a greater need for godly mothers than today. Never been a greater need for godly mothers than today. We need godly mothers. We need mothers that will stand up and teach their children what is right and give them character and teach them character. And I've entitled the message this morning, A Mother with Character. Hannah was a mother with character. And we need moms with character this morning who will train their children to have character and to live for God and to be all that God wants them to be. The most important occupation on earth that a woman can have is to be a godly, devoted Christian mother. You know, we live in a society that promotes careers and things of that nature, but you don't find that in the Bible. In the Bible, you find that God promotes a woman being a godly mom and leading the next generation to be godly young people that will grow up to be godly servants of the Lord. And that's what we see in Hannah's life. And so this morning, I want to notice 3 character traits that Hannah had that each mother here ought to desperately desire in their hearts. And so let's look at them together. But as we do, let's just read a few of the verses, beginning with verse number 9. Beginning with verse number 9, and I'll give you the background a little bit here beforehand so we don't have to read all the verses 1 to 8. But Hannah was married to a man named Elkanah, and Hannah didn't have any children. And back in those days, sometimes people had more than one wife, and Elkanah had 2 wives. His wife Peninnah had children, and Hannah didn't have any. Now, God's not justifying polygamy, but he tolerated it in some of those years. But he makes it clear that from the beginning there was one wife for one man, and God hasn't changed his mind. But nonetheless, the situation here was not a good situation, but Hannah didn't have any children, and she was brokenhearted over it. It was a very grievous thing to her not to have any children. And in their day, it was a very shameful thing for a woman who had been married for a number of years not to have any children. And so she was burdened about this situation. Verse number 9 says, "And so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh." Now, they had gone to Shiloh for the feasts of the Jewish feasts and to worship the Lord there. And in Shiloh, says, "Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." Verse 11. "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for the a daughter of Belial." Belial is another name for Satan. For out of For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken thereto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And we'll allude to some of the other verses in the rest of the chapter, but we'll stop there for right now. Here's the situation. They lived in a very discouraging time in Israel. It was a time they had just gone through the years of the judges, somewhere around 400 years of Israel having judges, and the people were falling further and further and further and further and further away from God. And you read in the book of Judges that it says there that every man did that which was right in the sight of his own eyes. Sounds kind of like today. You know, if you think it's good, then do it. And that's the exact philosophy that they had in their day. And so things were going further and further away from God. And God would raise up a judge. And the judge would bring the people back to God for a little while. And then the judge would die and they'd all go right back to what they were doing again. Falling further away from God each time. And it was during that time when Samson was during that time of the judges. And Jephthah and some of the other judges were in there. But now Samuel is at the end of the judges. And he was the last judge of Israel. And Samuel is going to be raised up in this way. But it hadn't come to pass yet. He was still, hadn't even been conceived yet. And his mom lived in those days, the days when man did what was right in their own eyes and didn't really pay much attention to what God wanted to do. But Hannah was a godly mom. She was a mom who loved the Lord. And so we find here, first of all, the first mark or character trait that we need as a mother is to be a godly mother. A godly mother. Hannah was one of those. She was a godly mother. And we see this, first of all, that she had placed her faith in God. Now, there's several indications of this. In verse number 11, we see here that she refers to the fact that she vows a vow unto the Lord of hosts. And she calls herself the handmaid of the Lord. And so a couple of times she refers herself to as the Lord's handmaid. What she was doing, she was saying, I have humbled myself before the Lord. The Lord is my God. I believe in Him. I put my faith in Him. And she was resting in Him. She had humbly placed her faith in the Lord. And you know, it is impossible to be a godly woman without placing your faith in God. I mean, you got to know the Lord in order to be able to be godly. And you know, people can try to be have a form of godliness on the outside, go to church, say their prayers, and do things that religious people do. But without personally knowing the Lord and having faith in Him, you really have an empty shell. And you don't have anything there that is genuine. And you can't be genuinely a godly mother or even a godly woman without having the Lord as your Savior. And so she had placed her faith in Him. And to become a child of God, you know, today, you think about that. How do we become a child of God? You know, most of us have heard the gospel many times, but perhaps it's not been clear to you. And, you know, as you think about that, to be able to become a child of God, you know, sometimes people think, well, we're all children of God because we're all born of, you know, God's created everybody, so we're all children of God. Well, that's not true. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. Because Jesus, remember when Jesus was talking in John chapter 8 and verse 44? He was talking to the Pharisees and he said to them, ye are of your father the devil and the lust of your father ye will do. He said they were children of the devil. And we see other indications of that in the Bible, that we're children of the devil until we become children of God. And so there has to be a changing point where we change to become a child of God. And remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Nicodemus was a very religious man. He had all the credentials religiously, but he didn't know the Lord. And he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what do I need to do to make sure I go to heaven? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, it's all as a relationship with you and God. You've got to be born into God's family. There has to be a spiritual birth in your life. You know, we ought to be able to look back at a time when we were spiritually born. You know, sometimes, we can all look back and say, well, I remember the time. Well, we don't remember. We've been told the time that we were born. And the moms remember the time when the kids were born. My wife and I were talking about that on the way to church today. And she said, boy, I've been a mom for 33 years. She said, it makes me feel old. You know, but she remembers those days, you giving birth to the kids. And you moms all remember those times. It was not something you forgot. That's something that's fresh in your memory. It doesn't matter how many years ago it was. And yet at the same time, those births took place at a date, at a time, and in a moment. And you know that time. And it didn't happen two or three times. It happened once. And so it is with salvation. Salvation takes place at a date, a time, and a moment. When Christ changes a person's life, when they repent of their sins and trust Him as their Savior, and they become a new creature in Christ. And that is how we become a child of God. And we need to have faith in God and place our faith in Him to save us from eternal judgment in the lake of fire. If you've never done that, I urge you to do that. There's no other way to go to heaven besides repenting of your sin and trusting Jesus. Without that, you'll spend eternity in hell. That's not what God wants. God wants you to be with Him in heaven. So let's make sure that that is a settled issue. But Hannah was a woman of faith in God. Not only that, but she lived a godly life. She was a godly woman. We see examples of this in her life here. When she was childless, she sought the Lord for a child. She didn't go to the witch doctor, or she didn't go down to the local club and have them pray for her or to do some magic for her. She sought God. She came to the tabernacle where they were worshiping God, and she came and asked God to meet that need. She prayed to God and sought the Lord for help in this need. You know, that's important. She was a woman that turned first to God. You know, a lot of times in our problems in life, we'll turn to anything and everything before we turn to God. You know, we'll turn to medicine, or we'll turn to, you know, the local guru that can help you with all these problems. And we do all these things before we say, well, I guess I've tried everything else, I better pray. Now, God wants us to come to Him first, and that's what Hannah did. She turned to God. She turned to Him and asked Him for help. And we see here that she prayed and sought the Lord and gave her burden to the Lord. Over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, we find that the Bible tells us that it has the answers for our life. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God said the Bible's got everything you need for life. It'll show you how to live. It'll give you the answers to life. It'll help you. It shows you how to make right choices and to give you all the wisdom we need. And Hannah realized that she needed to turn to God for the answers. And she sought the Lord and asked Him for guidance and help. You know, today, many, sadly, turn to alcohol, and drugs, and cigarettes, and worry, and psychologists, and everything else to try to remove their burdens. That doesn't work. You'll never get your burdens removed by going to those methods. The only way to get your burdens removed is give it to the Lord. It's the only way. That's the only way. Because He's the only one that can carry our burdens. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God says we need to give our burden to Him. Same thing in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, we need to give our burdens to God. And Hannah's burden, her greatest burden, was she wanted a child. And she was childless. And she was burdened about that. That was a big burden for her. Maybe your burden is not that. Maybe your burden is something else. Maybe you've got other heartaches and struggles and burdens and troubles. The thing to do with our burdens is to take them to the Lord and give them to the Lord and ask Him to lift them from us and to take them. And so Hannah was a godly woman. She sought the Lord for help. And not only that, but she, after Hannah did conceive and get the son that she had prayed for, she taught him biblical truth. You know, we see another example of her godliness here. We didn't read about this, but you look at, and it would take us a long time to sift our way through all of the life of Samuel. But you look at the life of Samuel. Samuel was a shining light for God. He was a man who stood up for right in a world that was dark. And he did right when it was hard to do right. He was a God-fearing man. And he served God all of his life. Where did he get that? Well, a lot of it he got from his mom. Got it from his mom. She trained him, prepared him. And you know, the thing of it is that she had only a short time to do that. And we'll see that in a few moments of how the short period of time she had, but she gave him to the Lord. And so it was only those first few years of his life, she prepared him to serve God. And you know, moms, one of the things we need to remember is those first few years of your child's life are absolutely critical to train them for the Lord. Absolutely critical. Because what often happens is moms forget to train their children or they neglect to train their children until they get to be, 7, 8, 9 years old. And then they're pulling their hair out because the kid's already got all kinds of bad habits that he's developed and turned his back on a lot of truth that could have been solved if he would have learned to do right when he was young and learned the ways of God. And she taught him, trained him in those early years. You know, church and Sunday school can be a great help in rearing our children. But it's no substitute for a godly, consistent, loving mom who biblically trains and biblically disciplines her children. Church and Sunday school is no substitute for that. You've got to have it at home. And, you know, if the children get something just once a week, it's not going to be enough. You know, that's one of the things that grieves my heart. In our youth activities, we've got a few kids that come that don't go to church. And when you have a situation like that, they get 15 minutes of Bible every 2 weeks. And then you wonder why they never really kind of go on and do anything for God. It's not enough. It's not enough. And that's why we need it consistently. And it's hard. You know, the number one issue in a home, and I think moms would have to agree with this, I know it certainly is true with the dads, is consistency. Consistency is hard. One day you're feeling spiritual and you're gonna conquer the world, and so the kid gets in trouble and gets spankings and he gets, you know, you gotta do right, and then the next day you're feeling a little carnal or lazy and so you let everything go. And then the child says, well, I don't get it, you know, yesterday I did that and I got in trouble, today I didn't get in trouble, so I got a 50-50 chance, so I guess I'll try it again. And if mom's in a good mood, I'll go get away with it. If she's not, then I'll get in trouble. And then the child gets confused. And consistency is very difficult, but very, very, very important. We need to be consistent. And so, moms, you got a big task ahead of you. But being that godly mother is a key to rearing your children. Now, godly mothers will read the Bible with the children and pray with the children on a regular basis. That is very, very, very important. You know, moms, if you don't read the Bible and pray with your children, you are missing out on something very important in their lives. They need to hear you reading the Bible and praying with them on a regular basis. Now, dads need to be involved in this as well, but moms have a very intimate relationship with their children because they're home with them all the time. And that is very important for them. And need to teach them biblical character and also teach them the doctrines of the Bible. These doctrines of the Bible, that sounds like pretty heavy stuff for little kids. You can teach the doctrines of the Bible in simple ways. They can understand to fear God and to be honoring God and to worship God and to pray to God in a sincere way, not just memorize little prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, you know, that kind of stuff, but sincere prayers. And they can talk to God. You can train them and teach them. It's very important. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. God said there's a right way to train him, and if you train him in the right way, they will benefit from it, and it'll stick with them. A lot of times parents, their children get older, and they turn away from the Lord and say, well, I don't believe that verse anymore because I did that and it didn't work. No, if you did it and it didn't work, it's because you didn't do it. God doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. But the truth of the matter is, we have trouble with consistency. We have trouble with faithfulness in these things. We have trouble in our own lives of being consistent in our own lives. Our children can see right through us like a window. And we think, you know, they don't see the way I do things or the why I do this, or they don't, you know, they listen to our attitude, they listen to our actions, they listen to the way we speak, they listen to the way we speak with our spouse, they listen to the way everything happens in life. They see what we do. So it's not just training them and saying, all right, go to church, say your prayers, do this. I trained them right and they didn't turn out. No, God doesn't lie. God said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. He'll do what's right. And we need to train them in the right way and pray for them and pray with them and spend time with them on a regular basis. And so if your children is lacking character, you got work to do. You got work to do. But train them in character. Teach them character. Character is doing right even when you don't feel like it. Now, no child is born with character. Children are born with foolishness. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So they're born with foolishness, and God says we need to train them into character. Character is doing right even when we don't feel like it. A lot of adults don't have character. They don't feel like going to work, so they call in and lie and say they're sick. They don't feel like doing something, so they make an excuse. And they're lazy. And all that influences our children. But God wants us to train our children to have character so that they will do right all the time. And they'll make right choices in life. And they'll be obedient the first time they're told. Not three or four times, or not after you've counted to 3.999, but the first time they're told. All right? So they need to be trained to have character. Hannah was a godly mom. But secondly, we find that Hannah was a praying mom. She was a praying mom. She prayed in verse number 10. She prayed very sincerely. It says that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept before him. You know, you can just imagine Hannah there that day. She's been troubled. Peninnah's been picking on her. She's feeling terrible. She doesn't have any kids. She's been married for many years. Why don't I have any kids? And she's pouring her heart out to God. You know, you can just see her there kneeling down by the altar there in the tabernacle and praying, "Oh, God, you got to help me." And she's bitter at heart and pouring out her heart and crying out to God, "God, you got to answer my prayer. I want a boy. I want a boy. God, please give me a son." And she's pouring out her heart to God in a sincere manner. She wept before the Lord as she prayed. And she addressed the Lord as the Lord of hosts. Now that's significant. Look at verse number 11. It says, she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts." Now what's that mean, Lord of hosts? Well, the Lord of hosts is a title given to Jehovah God that refers to his commandership over a host of something. Alright, sometimes it refers to the stars in heaven. The stars are called the hosts of heaven. God's the commander of all the hosts of heaven. He speaks and they were all created. He guides them and he protects them. God is the Lord of the heavenly hosts. God is also the Lord of the angelic hosts, the multitudes of angels in heaven. He's the Lord of the angelic hosts. And he's also the Lord of the heavenly armies. I would assume that that's particularly part of the angels as well. But the angels in heaven are spoken of as the host of God. And so she's addressing the captain of the armies of heaven and said, "Lord of hosts, you are able to meet this need." And she pours out her heart to him. And she makes this vow to him, "God, if you will give me a son, I will give him to you for all of his life to live with for you." And so she pours out her heart to God. She's praying sincerely to God. She believes that God is in control of all things and able to give her the child and do the impossible. She believed God. But then we find also she prayed specifically. Not only did she pray sincerely, but she prayed specifically. Verse 11 again, she asked the Lord for a son. She didn't say, "God, please give me a baby." She said, "God, I want a son. I want a son. And I want a son so that I can raise him so he can serve you. And I'm going to raise him so he'll be one of your servants." And so she's praying very specifically. She said, "I want a son." And she's promised God that she would give God her son if he gave her a son. And she says that "I will not allow a razor to come to his head." Now what's she meaning there? She's talking about the Nazarite vow. The Nazarite vow was a vow in the Old Testament days where a person could make a vow to the Lord and said, "God, I promise from this day until this day that I will do this and this and this," whatever the vow may be. And the Nazarite vow, one of the things that was part of that, they couldn't eat anything that had anything to do with a grape. And they couldn't touch anything that was dead. Even if a relative died, they couldn't touch, you know, the body of the relative that died. And there was things of that nature. And then another thing is that for the men, they could not cut their hair. Because it was a shame for a man to have long hair. The Bible makes it very clear. And so when they grew their hair long, everybody would say, "That guy's a Nazarite." And it was instantly identified him as different than everybody else. There's a Nazarite. He's got a vow to God. And she said, "My son will be a Nazarite from his birth. And I'll give him to you to serve you for his whole life. Not just for a short period of time, but for his whole life. I'll give him to you. You can have him for his whole life. if you'll give me a son. So she's very specific. She prayed repeatedly. Verse number 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. All right, so she's not just prayed once. She's continuing to pour out her heart again and again and again. She's pouring out her heart to God. Please, God, you've got to help me. You've got to answer this prayer. And she's pouring out her heart to God. You know, God wants us to pray repeatedly. You know, sometimes we think, well, why should I pray for something five or six times? I told God once and God knows everything, so He knows what I prayed. I don't understand all the ins and outs of that, but in Luke chapter 18, God tells us that men ought to pray continually. He gives us a story about a woman that came to her creditor and she... And, or not the creditor, she was came to this judge and said, "Judge, I've got a problem, you got to help me." And the judge says, "Go away, woman, I don't want to hear about it." And she came back, "God, you got to help me." And he says, "Go away." And she says, every day she'd come back. Finally, after a long time, he says, "Give that woman what she wants, she's driving me crazy." All right? Now, God said that is the way we need to come to God. Now, it doesn't mean that we're driving God crazy, nor does it mean that God is irritated because we're pestering Him. He's simply teaching us the principle that we need to continue to pray. Continue to pray. You know, maybe you've been praying for something for a long time and it hasn't come to pass yet. Keep praying. God wants us to keep praying. And it helps us to stay close to God. It helps us to draw close to God and to spend time with God. But she's praying repeatedly. And then we find also she prayed expectantly. Verse number 18. Verse number 18 says, "And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad." She expected an answer. And when Eli said, "It's okay, go your way, God will give you what you want," She acknowledges that. She said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." That's a way of saying, "I accept what you said." And she went away after having prayed expectantly. She believed that God would give it to her. And she trusted God that He would. And so she prayed to that end. And she believed and rejoiced in the fulfillment even before it took place. She's rejoicing. She goes home and she's happy. Why? "I'm going to have a baby." What? How do you know? You know, because God had promised her. She believed God. She believed God. And so she prayed expectantly. And then we find also that she prayed effectively. Effectively. Verse number 19. "And it came, and they arose and rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came into their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." All right. God gave her conception. She had prayed. God answered her prayer. God gave her what she asked for. She prayed effectively. And God gave her not just a boy, baby, but God gave her a boy, just like she asked. You know, Mom, I wonder how much do you pray for your children? You know, we need to pray for children if you are desiring children, but we also ought to pray for our children as well. Pray for the children. Pray that God would work in their lives. Pray that God would rear them up to be godly, to make them all that God wants them to be. And pray that God would to lead them and guide them and bring them to Himself. We need to pray for our children. Sadly, many moms don't pray for their children. You know, some of you grew up in unsaved homes where your parents never prayed one time for you. Not once. Tragic. It's tragic. Shouldn't be that way in a Christian home. Moms need to be praying regularly for their children. Praying with them and praying for them. We need to pray for our children. But we find, so first of all, Hannah was a godly mother. She was also a praying mother. But thirdly, she was a lending mother. A lending mother. Let me see what this is all about here. She was a lending mother. Before she conceived, she lent Samuel to the Lord. All right, remember she had promised. She said, "God, you give me a son and I'll give him to you. I'll lend him to you. For the rest of his life, I will lend him to you." And so she had given God that promise. She went. She wanted the Lord to use him mightily. You know, one of the things that I think is very tragic in a lot of Christian homes, moms and dads do not have a passionate desire for their children to serve God with their lives. Oh, they might say, "Well, yeah, I want them to be a Christian and I want them to do right and be a nice person for God." But I'm talking about serving God. I'm talking about going to the mission field. I'm talking about being a preacher, a preacher's wife, or a full-time Christian worker in some sort where they're serving God with all of their life instead of pursuing a career and a hobby and money in this life. They're pursuing the service of God. Parents don't do that anymore. Not very often. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, I want my kids to go to church and be a Christian, but, you know, after all, we live in a busy world and you got to have money to live on, so I want my kids to be an engineer or a doctor or technician or something so they can make lots of money and be able to. Besides, I'm getting old and one of these days I'm going to retire and I'm going to want the kids to kind of help me out a little bit. Totally different focus than we find here with Hannah. Hannah's desire was, God, you give me a son and I'll make a preacher out of him. And I'll give him to you and I want you to use him all of his life to serve you. That was her passion. And you know that ought to be the passion of every parent. It ought to be the passion of every parent. As we prayed for our boys when they were young, I'd pray, God, please, make preachers out of my boys. And I'm thankful that Benjamin's a preacher. Luke is capable of preaching and qualified to preach. He's got all of his training, but the Lord hasn't called him to that. Silas, he said, Dad, I went to Bible school for 2 years, and I'm happy to preach if that's what God wants, but he hasn't called me to preach, so can I go study horticulture? I said, that's fine. I'm not going to call you to preach. God's got to do that. But at least he's prepared. And, you know, but we need to have that as our focus. I want my children to be God's servants instead of I want my children to make big money. Let the world make the money. We can live on what God provides for us. Let's serve God. We've got a world to reach for Christ. One of the reasons we're not reaching it is because a lot of Christians just don't care. Oh, they'll say, yeah, well, of course I care, but not enough to give my kids to go. Then no way, I'm not going to do that. You know, sometimes it's so tragic when a child, you know, maybe they're a teenager and they come to mom and dad and say, I feel like God's called me to the mission field. What? No, you can't do that. You mean leave home? Go live off in some grass hut someplace? No, come on, son, you got to rethink this. That should never come from our lips. We ought to give them a hug and say, praise God. Where do you think he's leading you? That ought to be our desire. Instead of panicking when they think, oh, my grandkids are going to be gone. I won't see them. Oh. Don't worry about that. God's in control. God will take care of it. Give them to God. Beg God to use them in some way. Let's ask God to use our children. Pray for them. She vowed, God, I'll give you my son. You can have him. You know, Hannah's life. If you know the whole story, the intricacy of this, Hannah seriously did give her child to God. We'll see that in just a moment. This was a serious thing to her. At birth, she prepared this lending of Samuel for the Lord. She nurtured him, brought him up, trained him physically. She taught him spiritually. And God gives no specifics about, you know, exactly what she did. But you look at Samuel's life and you can say something took place in his life that led him in the right direction. He was a man of God in a world of wickedness. He really was. What made the difference? Was it Eli, the man that he went to live with? I kind of doubt it. Eli was a failure. His kids were wicked. His boys that were his assistant priests in the tabernacle, they're committing fornication with the women that come to bring their offerings to the Lord. Real nice guys. That's Eli's boys. And Eli doesn't say a whole lot to them because he doesn't want to offend them. God says, Eli, you blew it. And yet Samuel went to live with that old Eli. So was it Eli that taught him to be godly? I kind of doubt it. I think he got a lot of it from his mom before he went to live with Eli. And as we think about that, what a pressure it places on the mom to be able to teach their children in those early years. Teach them to fear God. To fear God. You know, I wonder how many of your children that are only young truly fear God. Are we training them to fear God? Are we teaching them how to fear God? And teaching them that God hates sin but loves righteousness. Teaching them that this is right and this is wrong. And God loves that you're doing what is right and he doesn't like it when you do what is wrong. And teach them and train them and discipline them and instruct them and help them. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. We need to teach them to fear God, to feel like God does about sin. We also need to teach them the truths of the Bible. the doctrines of the Bible. I mentioned it a moment ago, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." He's talking to Timothy. Paul said, "Timothy, from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Who taught him? Was it his dad? Absolutely not. His dad was a Greek and an unbeliever, as far as we know. It was his mom. His mom taught him the Word of God from a child. Now, it's important that we teach our children the Word of God. Teach them not just the Bible story so they can tell you that Jonah got swallowed by a whale and the basic stories. Teach them principles that'll help them in life. Teach them doctrines that'll help them to make right choices and to do what's right and follow God. And in order to teach them, you got to know them. You know, many, many years ago when we lived in Papua New Guinea, we lived out in the jungle and I got burdened that I needed to train a couple of the men to be preachers in our church so they could take over the work. And I said, well, I'm going to have a Bible school here. So I started gathering together my books and trying. I didn't have very many things with me there. I thought, well, I'm going to teach them doctrine class. I said, okay, we're going to teach doctrine. And I thought, well, I studied doctrine in school. You know, I know I passed it with an A. You know, I did all right in doctrine class. And you think, all right, now how do I write it down? You know, it wasn't until I actually had to write it out, think it through myself, and explain it, that I really learned it. And you know, that's the way it is oftentimes with us. We can have book learning, and you can hear the preacher talk about it, but until you've actually dug it out yourself and looked up the verses and said, oh yeah, that's what support said. Okay, I understand that. It's not until then that it really sinks in. But we need to know doctrine ourselves so we can teach it to our children. You know, right now on Wednesday nights, we're going through a doctrine course and studying doctrine. And parents, you can take the things you're learning, simplify it, and start using that in your family Bible time and teaching your children the doctrines you're learning. Put it on a simple level that they can understand, but embed it in their hearts. Get it in their minds. Teach them. Help them to learn Bible doctrine even when they're young. And she taught him the Word of God. Now, also need to teach them that to put God before gold. You've got to teach them to put God before gold. You've got to. You got to. Because we live in a world that puts gold before everything. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16 says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You make a choice. You can have great treasure and have trouble, or you can fear God and have little. It's a whole lot better to fear God and just have a little then they have a whole bunch and have nothing but trouble. God wants us to put Him first. When she weaned Samuel and he'd finished nursing, she took him to Eli. You say, well, how old would have that been? You know, in our culture, you know, a baby might drink from mom for 6 months or maybe a year if he's fortunate. Well, in those days, according to Bible Manners and Customs book written by Fred White, he said that Hebrew children often drank from their mother for at least 3 years and sometimes as long as 5 years before they were weaned. Right? And we saw that in New Guinea as well. A lot of the children that were still 4 or 5 years old were still nursing from their mom. And assuming that be the case, let's just drag it out to the full extent, all right, for the sake of her training of Samuel. Let's say that she didn't take him to Eli until he was 5 years old. Now, you think about it, moms. How many of you, when your child is 5 years old, would feel comfortable to say, my child is ready to go live with somebody else, and I'm confident they're going to live for God the rest of their life because I have prepared them to serve God by the time they're 5 years old? Not too many parents would be too anxious to do that. That's what she did. And Samuel grew up to serve and love God. Now, I'm sure that Eli had a lot of input in his life, and hopefully Eli did better of his input with Samuel than he did with his own boys. But all I'm saying is there's every indication that Hannah had done a great job of preparing her young boy in those first 4 or 5 years when she had him at home. She taught him everything she could possibly teach him to prepare him for the life of service ahead. And God made him a great servant of the Lord. Now, Mom, what are your dreams for your children? What are your dreams for your children? Have you lent them to the Lord? Have you dedicated to them fully to the Lord? Said, Lord, you can have my children. Use them. Take them. Call them to your service. Make them missionaries. Make them preachers. Make them a preacher's wife or a missionary's wife. Whatever you want, God. You've got my children. You take them and use them in any way you will. You ever done that? You really should. You really need to. That's what Hannah did. She said, God, he's your boy. I'll do my utmost best to prepare him, but he's yours. You take him. You use him. Make him whatever you want him to be. Send him anywhere, Lord. But we're so afraid. God might take us up on it. He might send him somewhere. Well, I'll never see them anymore. I was thinking about that this morning as I was thinking about Mother's Day. I'm thinking, you know, it'd be a special day for my wife if our whole family could be together. And as I thought on that, I thought, you know, that'll probably never, ever happen until we get to heaven. Because my boys are all over the world. And we'll probably never, ever get together, all of us at once, until we get to heaven. But that's all right. God knows. It's okay. It'll be all right. And we need to be willing to just say, God, it's okay. You take them. You use them. Everything in a child's upbringing is either preparing him to serve God or preparing him to serve self. Everything you do in his life or her life is preparing him or her to serve God or to serve self. We've got to think very carefully about what are we doing. The entertainment in our home, the music, the things you allow them to watch, the things you allow them to read, the conversations they hear, the atmosphere of the home, the magazines, the books, the discipline or lack of it, the instruction or lack of it, the training and the Word of God or lack of it, are all preparing them either to be spiritual or carnal, godly or ungodly, to serve the Lord or to serve themselves. And moms, you've got a great responsibility in those areas. I'm not trying to take the responsibility off of Dad. He's ultimately responsible. But moms have a great responsibility in that area to train the children for God. Hannah was a godly mother. She was a praying mother. She was a lending mother. And we can learn much from her example. Hannah was a child of God. Can you say this morning, I know for positive that I am a child of God. I remember the day I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I repented of my sins and asked Him to save my soul. I'm a child of God. If you can't, that's where it's got to start. You can't be a godly mother without being a child of God. If you don't know for positive, I encourage you to come speak to me. I'll be happy to share with you how easy it is to put your faith and trust in Christ if you will repent of your sin and trust Him as your Savior. If you're a Christian, do you pray for your children like Hannah did? Do you pray every day with them, but also pray for them, asking God to use them? Have you given them to the Lord and said, God, they're yours? Lord, please help me to be the mom I need to be. Are you willing to lend them to the Lord and just say, God, they're yours. You can take them. You can have them, Lord. There's no better time than right now to begin. You might say, well, my children are all grown. Well, you can still give them to the Lord. You can still pray for them. Someday maybe the Lord will give you grandchildren. You can pray for them. We can't turn the clock back, change the things we failed to do, but we can press forward today.